Good afternoon, it's Thursday the 8th of June, and we're back for the A1 show.
Episode number?
28. I'm getting better.
You got that one right.
Bubba, plenty to get through today.
Loads to get through.
Where are we going to start? Did you put these in any sort of order, or did you just fucking...
Just left them there.
Throwing out there.
Yeah.
We're going to start with... We start with a bit of A1cc news, actually, because it's the least fun and requires the least prep work. A1cc, got the Saturday spin going again this Saturday?
We do.
You going on Saturday?
Big weekend on the way.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, but like...
That's a different Saturday topic runs, now, not be jumping ahead.
No, Saturday runs into the big...
Are you going to the club ride on Saturday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
You were there last week.
What are you drinking?
Vitamin C of the most expensive piss in the world at all.
I know.
I've had a few vitamin C's and a multivitamin this morning.
Yeah, I'll be out in Spain on Saturday.
Did you know, this is a little known fact, that Evan bottled the Swords TT last night? Didn't go.
No, I didn't know that.
There you go. Bottle job.
How do you bottle a TT?
Just hadn't got the fucking cojones.
No cojones.
Not a roadman. Yep, that's what you get. And he also counted it as a workplace accident the time I leaned into him.
Actually, good ride by Merv yesterday.
Oh, what did he do?
He was ninth.
What time?
The TT. On a road bike, no power meter, nothing. Just went out and gave it the beans.
That's just testament to how poor the standard is there.
25 minutes.
For 10?
Yeah.
That's scandalous.
It's good, a road bike.
Yeah, it's not bad on a road bike, yeah. Be sure you're on a TT bike.
Yeah, but sure, there's 2 minutes in a road bike.
You'd be 2 minutes faster, I'd say, on a TT bike. You'd be 3 minutes faster on my TT bike.
Yeah, it's gone.
Which is still for sale. Not a sale fell through.
Did it?
Gone, yeah.
Ah, no way.
Yeah, I didn't sell it.
No wonder you didn't buy me a sandwich today.
Yeah, sale fell through.
Fantastic.
She's a bargain. $5,000 there for the right man. She's a bargain. Buggle, how's your YouTube mug going? Buggle has a mug with nothing in it. It's a prop mug.
You never got me a drink.
You're not even wrong. You're enough to pour your own drink.
You brought in a drink for yourself.
I just dropped another vlog there.
You did? Good effort.
YouTube channel. Go and check it out after the show. Start hitting us with some subscriptions.
I don't know why you keep bypassing my two in the pipeline there ready to go out and you just keep putting your own in.
You can't sync your fucking audio and your video.
There is a bit of a technical issue with the vlogs at the moment. They'll be sorted.
But Evan was actually saying to me before, he thinks it's not a technical issue. He thinks your lips, you're like a ventriloquist. Your lips and your voice aren't in sync.
I agree. Some people think my mouth doesn't move enough when I speak. No.
The A1 office is a bit chaotic at the moment. We got the new flat screen, which you can't see.
Yeah, we can't show anyone it at the moment. It's a disgrace. You're unreal. You're like the Tasmanian devil.
But listen now, fucking one of us has to do with the labour. You get a blister pointing. Like, I fucking drilled that.
Hold on a minute.
The shelves up there.
Shameful display of manual labour yesterday.
What have you put up?
And it was like you were after like doing a stage of the fucking Ross yesterday. And you're only in here for 10 minutes.
I'm sweating buckets now. Sawing fucking wood's hard work, man.
Standing up and lifting something for you is hard work.
It is hard work. Fucking you try and lift that shelf up.
I fucking lifted the TV up there. It weighs twice as much.
After I fucking mounted it.
Sure.
You came in. So we're back, hopefully in action, full blast for the office tomorrow. Lactates are back tomorrow. So a few of you have emailed looking for lactates. Anyone that wants to book a lactate, it's actually a good time of the year to book them. Mid-season test. Get booking. We're back in action tomorrow. Buggles back. The rubber gloves on. Doing your thing.
Doing my thing, yeah.
Right, I suppose we'll deal with this one here. Ethical doping, you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I've seen an article, I think it was Cycling News.
There is no such thing as ethical doping. That's an oxymoron. It's a bit freshly frozen.
Ah, you've thrown that one around a few times.
Ethical doping, it's not an expression.
Is it not?
It's binary. It's either doping or it's not.
No, it's not.
Doping is cheating. You can't have ethical cheating. That's like having new and improved. It's either fucking new or it's improved.
Yeah. You know what it means.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, go on. It's your debate.
Fucking barrister bullshit. Right. So there was an article on Cycling News. It's about Thomas De Gendt using a hypoxic chamber altitude tent on the way or the run up to the Dauphin. So he's living in Calpe, he's a family man, he wanted to stay in Calpe with his kids, his family, the wife, the whole shebang, and stay getting the benefit of using like altitude. And there's a bit of an article where people kind of challenging the ethical kind of surroundings of that. So what do you think about it?
No, it's not doping.
I don't think Stoughton either.
Like, you have to draw a line somewhere.
So Mark Sargent, who's the director of the team or the manager, I presume he's the manager, came out and said, where do you draw the line? Is a home trainer okay? It's the same thing. You can go on the home trainer instead of out on the road, and the opposition can say that that's not it, but I don't think it's a big problem.
You have to draw a line somewhere, is the problem with it. Like, everyone mightn't agree where the line gets drawn, but it has to be drawn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, otherwise, what do you say? Like, intuitively, you think anything that's performance enhancing should be banned. But then, well, if then you ban anything that's performance enhancing, you're banning carbohydrates.
You're banning your.
But then you move to the next one and you go, what if it's performance enhancing and it's harmful to your health? It should be banned. But creatine's not banned. Long term studies have shown it is harmful to your health. It's performance enhancing and it's not banned. Mm-hmm. So, those need to be aligned somewhere.
Yeah, well, if that's an ethical, like, if that's ethical doping or on the border or supplementation, like, it's fucking even grayer than that again.
Yeah.
You know, so it's.
No, it's well in the green zone, I think.
Yeah.
I've used a tent in the past. You've used a tent in the past.
Yeah.
Got nothing but heartache out of it.
No, pain in your ass.
Yeah, it's heartache and waking up bucketing in sweat in the middle of the night.
So yeah, scrap that one.
Right. Scrap that one. So we're putting that in the ethical. So Thomas De Gendt,
sound.
He's a sound man. The bigger question there is, why is he living in Calpe? And he can live anywhere in the world. Calpe's a shit.
I don't think he lives in Calpe.
You said he's a family man. He's
based. He's based there, training there. I don't know if he's from there. He's living there. He's not shit. From there, but
it's a great place to train. But it's a fucking dive town.
Is it?
Ah, shit hole. Yeah, I'll go back next year for training. Brilliant.
I don't think I've ever been.
Mm, it is good training. Don't worry about knocking into the bike, because I have re-secured the bike rack, so you can swing out of that all you want. We're heading on to domestic news. Domestic news. If we're gonna do this, we don't Fred of the Week award last week.
Technically, Ron in the touch. Was he giving out?
No, he wasn't giving out. He accepted it on the chin that he is the Fred of the Week. Good but man. We've given Ronan the right to nominate the next Fred in this episode. So Ronan can comment below and tell us who the Fred of the Week is.
Has he told you already?
No, I don't know. It's probably you.
It probably is.
I have a suspicion I know who it is.
He doesn't want to give that award up. He won't give it to me.
No, he is giving it up, yeah. He's giving it to someone else, Fred of the Week. We're only going to do it once a week from now on, because I think that was in the last show, which is technically still this week. So Ron is the Fred for the entire week, but he's going to nominate next week's Fred.
Okay.
Domestic news. We had a debate last day about the velodrome. I said Leo Varadkar can stick his velodrome up his hole, because I don't want it.
Yeah, you did.
And you were like, no. Leo's a good man.
I was playing devil's advocate, yeah. And actually, young fella commented on the YouTube channel yesterday. You know, he's on the track team. He love a track being here, this, that, and the other. You are forgetting about them lads. That's that one.
Hold on, you sound like Tommy Gorman here, fucking talking to Roy Keane. Are you forgetting about the men on the road, the ole olayers?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can't talk about an individual case. I'm not talking about one individual person, case. Kid. Talk big data. Like,
there should be a track in the country.
Why?
Because it's, there should
be. But there should be a track. There should be better healthcare. But you take resources from one thing, you can't give them to the other. Mm-hmm. It's prioritising resources.
Mm-hmm.
Spending money where it's maximum impact.
Yeah.
Got a good guest for you.
Bring him on.
But I don't know what the score is with the guests I've secured versus the guests you've secured.
Aye.
But you're on Neil. I don't know how many I've secured.
I don't know.
Yeah, but how many guests has he secured? None. That was a rhetorical question. There's none. How many voice secured? Someone has to it's into the double. It's into the double digits now.
Well, I'm doing all the lactates and all. You have to be secure on the guests.
The lactates, Michal. Right. Evan, where do you want me to put this for best benefit? I'm going to call Aidan Reid, formerly of the track commission, to get a little bit of an insight into what's going on with the velodrome. And
how's it going?
Aidan, what's the crack? How are you?
Not too bad, no.
I have you live on the A1 show here.
Oh, fabulous. I'm going to watch my language then.
No, you can fucking course away.
Lovely. So, yourself and Aaron there. So.
Yes, yeah, we'll have you on loudspeaker, so you might just speak up so lads can hear what you're saying.
Will do, yeah, no problem.
We're debating the velodrome, we're trying to figure out if it's worth getting or not. Do you want to give lads briefly, you were on the track commission for how long?
I was the chair of the track commission for 2 years, and well, first of all, the velodrome, it is happening. The most important aspect of it is that it's a shared facility with Badminton Ireland, and they have a similar amount of membership as Cycling Ireland. So it's a big facility, and it's a very important facility. I'd rather have a velodrome going around the outside than just a load of badminton courts that you could be very beneficial to every aspect of cycling, really, you know.
Why has it been so slow to happen?
Sorry, say it again?
Why has it been so slow? It seems like we've been talking about a velodrome since at least the London 2012 Olympics, if not before then.
Well, the velodrome's been talked about since the early 80s, from as long as I can remember anyway. The reason it's so slow at the moment is it's part of up in Abbottstown, and they were waiting on the very large gymnasium or whatever it is to get built, and that just got opened there in January, and then this is the next building that they're going to build. The plans are all done. It's gone to tender or whatever the case may be. I don't know the full details about that, other than I've seen the plans. I've set them at home, and it'll be a beautiful facility, and it'll genuinely benefit every aspect of cycling, because you know you can use it as a facility to run anything. I mean, you can have a track meet there. You can just use it as what do you call a Fred Fest, where you could have the start of a sportif from there, or whatever the case may be.
So what's the debate? Is there a debate going on Cycling Ireland? Do the lads want the velodrome? Like, I know me and Aaron were having the debate just now, and I was saying it's a resources issue. If they put their resources into that, those are resources they can't put into something else. You know, ideal world, I'd love a velodrome, but I think personally the money might be better spent. You know, we have mountain bike trails, we have forests, we have roads. Spend a fraction of the money they were planning allocating for the velodrome on other areas of cycling, and you potentially touch a lot more people, because track cycling is a niche of a niche.
It sure is, and I mean there are only a small amount. It's such a small element, but I don't think any of the funding is taken away from any other aspect of the sport. You know, I mean, it's something. As I say, I've looked at it in everything from Australia right through to New Zealand and even over in England, and every single time that a velodrome has been built, more funding has ended up going towards every aspect of cycling.
Where's the funding coming from for it?
Sorry?
Where's the funding coming from?
Well, the funding is Sport Ireland initially, I believe, and you know, I think there is some talk about them selling Kelly Roach House, because they want to move up to Abbottstown with Cycling Ireland. Now, I have no idea whether that's actually happened. I think Jeff Liffey would know more about that, but there was talk about that. I think a lot of it is coming from Sport Ireland, because it's on their campus. But again, half the responsibility is with Badminton Ireland as well, because it's a shared facility.
And with the current setup with the lads based out in Mallorca, is that not enough? Where we have our high performance lads based out in Mallorca, and we just continue to do that, and we, you know, spend the money where we can impact a few more riders? Or do you not like that Mallorca setup at the moment?
Well, I mean, there's the positives and negatives to Mallorca. I mean, the amount of effort that the people over there give, I mean, you know, they're away from home. They really are sort of, you know, there's an awful lot of work behind the scenes that the people do over there. Now, I was over and I visited. The only experience I really had is I was working with you know, I just seen Dave O'Loughlin getting ready for the Olympics in 2008, and you know, while he was working on an endurance event, the only thing he was really enduring was Ryanair flights over and back all the time, to even over to England just to train.
But that's his choice. He could just base himself in Manchester and be done with it. He's a professional athlete.
Yeah, people over there, and they're working so hard right now just to get those results, and I'd say there's a chance that Mallorca could probably still exist, but it's just for the whole development of youth and getting more people involved in that side. And you look at it and you see people that are coming off the track side of things, even over in Newport, and the kids have brilliant bike racing skills, bike handling skills, and they're able to watch what's going on in the race a lot better as well, because can see everything that's going on, and it's a safer environment as well for child welfare.
So when are we thinking this velodrome might actually happen?
Look, there was talk about it even in the 2 years that I was in there. I thought they'd be turning the sod within those 2 years, but to be honest, I think it'll be another 2 years. As you know, I'm out of that now, but you still see what's going on, and you'd love it to happen. And as I said, there's an awful lot of people working to make it happen.
Now there's great lads there like Liam Walker, Hugh Bourne. When I started there, they were very helpful for me.
And they're still,
Aidan, I'm running a bit short on time, so I'll have to leave it there. But definitely, that was a brilliant insight into what's going on. Appreciate you taking the time.
No problem. Thanks very much.
Cheers, dude.
Cheers, lad.
Thanks,
guys. Cheers. Bye. So there you go. Velodrome debate.
Couldn't agree more with what he had to say.
You're a lickers.
No, seriously. And you know where he's coming from.
I do, but
you're just being an argumentative.
No, we're bouncing the ball around circles. I think those resources, they're better serving a higher fraction of the racing community. Yeah. There's such a small percentage of people racing to devote 90% of your resources to serve 2% of your target market.
Yeah, you're saying like the good lads can just fucking go to Manchester or to go out to Mallorca, but you have to get to that level. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's how you
so
get.
So then you have to sacrifice absolutely everything and ship off the fucking.
But you can't take 90% of your resource. I'm using arbitrary figures. 90% of your resources to service 2% of the population.
90% of the resources aren't good.
60% to service 2%. It's got to be 2% of your resources serving 2% of your community.
Great.
Cycling Ireland's mandates to promote cycling Ireland. The biggest cycling base in Ireland is leisure cycling, and they do arguably nothing to facilitate leisure cycling.
Yeah.
And they're talking about spending massive money on serving a tiny percentage of high performance athletes. It's just not right.
It's not to serve only the high performance
it's
athletes.
It's a smaller percentage of the athletes.
No, youth. I think it's massive.
It doesn't matter. It's a small percentage.
Yeah, small.
Small. They're not serving the masses. Anyway, sure, we can bounce that one around all day. Races that are going on at the moment. McKenna's away racing. He's heading off.
Started today, Ronda Lawes.
Yep, 2.2.
Solid, that's a hard race. Tough race.
Damien Shaw and my old teammate Conor Hennaby, two of the old Aqua boys there.
Mm-hmm.
Solid.
Daily race as well.
They'll all get a hiding there, no doubt. Roach has penciled in for the Nationals, coming back to defend his TT and road race title. That's bad news for everyone.
Bad news for everyone.
Yeah. You going to make an appearance?
Absolutely not.
TT?
No.
National road race?
No.
What put you off that? The Ross?
Yeah. Nah, I don't know. Just,
will you ever race again?
Of course I will. I'll do what I want. I'll do some club races and stuff. Like the Ross, I'm grand. Like, I've done the Ross and now I'm fine. I'm happy out. Just because you can't let it go.
Need to talk to someone about suppressing.
You need to talk to someone about what you're fucking playing at more than I do. I'm grand. I'm happy out.
You seem miserable.
You do.
ITAP are looking for riders if you want to re-kick your career there. They're doing Rond van Oost Vlaanderen in Belgium.
It's a very good race. I've seen that actually. They're looking for riders.
They're looking for riders, yeah, as far as I know. They have a good little setup there. Darren Feely was the best Irish rider for my money in the Ross this year. And yeah, a number of other good riders there in their nice little programme. So if anyone's U23 and is looking for a ride there, you'd want to have a good set of legs on you and give Johnny Gibson a buzz. International news.
Yeah, the Dauphin. Have you been watching the Dauphin?
Hold on, I haven't introduced it yet. International news. Have I watched the Dauphin? No, should have been securing guests for the A1 show flat out.
That didn't he secure himself.
You couldn't secure shelves. Come on, what happened to the Dauphin?
I did secure the shelves. That's right.
What happened to the Dauphin?
Richie Port won the TT, which was a bit of a surprise.
He's a good tester.
He's a class tester. I didn't think he'd beat Tony Martin.
It was undulating.
It was undulating enough, yeah, in fairness. So he was down on Tony Martin at the split checkpoint halfway. 12 seconds he ended up putting into Martin overall over the course of the TT. Valverde was a bit of a surprise. He's motoring again. He was third.
In the TT?
Yeah.
I've long said this. You bet on Valverde to get a podium in every race.
Every race he
will never go wrong.
Then Contador 7th, Froome 8th. 35 seconds, 37 seconds. Only 2 seconds between the two of them. And again, held onto the jersey again. 42, so he was 9th.
Ethical doping.
Motor today, stage 5, first Phil Bahus. I don't know him. Bahus, only 22, team Sunweb Bunch Gallop,
don't know.
Katusha again led it out. You watching the sprint? No. So
Christoph can't sprint for shit. What are you leading it out for?
Fucking, I don't know what's going on with him.
He can't sprint for
so what? He ended up finishing 6th in the end. Your man Bahus, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Demare was 2nd again. He's going well. He likes that kind of hard, lumpy kind of.
He likes holding on the cars going up the Poggio as well.
Yeah, fastest. He's the fastest split up the Poggio, isn't he?
Yeah.
Fucking. Cockhart was 3rd. Big day tomorrow. Goes up Mont de Chat.
Tough.
HC.
Ooh.
Descent off it.
Ooh.
Down a couple of. Like it's 15k long. HC. And then a descent down to the finish. Bit of talk about Froome. Did you see that bit of talk about Froome going to BMC? I think it's bullshit.
Yeah, he's good mates at Richie Port. I think you need more than that. That's probably the connection. He's good mates at Richie Port.
Mm.
Sure, if Richie Port was such good mates, he wouldn't have left Sky.
I think, yeah, it's just, it's easier to piece together with all the crap that's going on at Sky lately.
Mm. This Giro Ciclista d'Italia is starting at the moment. The baby Giro. And our very own Eddie Dunbar, 2017 under-23 Tour of Flanders winner, is on the start line for his team. We're going from June 9th to the 15th for that race. Tough one.
Horrendously ill.
Did you race it?
I did.
Did you get a whipping?
Whipped. No, I got whipped, in fairness. A couple of lads done all right. Myself, Conor McCombie was on the team.
He's in an Irish team, what?
Downey, Lavery. Yeah.
Hmm.
Irish team.
All the mentioned, the riders you mentioned are retired. Lavery's still going. Downey, McCombie, you, Lavery.
Alban, gone.
Alban, gone.
Yeah.
Baby Giro, do that one, man.
Break you. Break you. But yeah, Eddie Dunbar, fucking, he'll go really well in that race. Definitely stages, if not going for the overall, I'd imagine.
Sam Bennett's back in action. This will be an Irish watch. Sam Bennett's back in action today. The GP de Canton de Argove. It's in Switzerland, and he's back. It's a one-day race. He's back. His form looked great in the first 2 weeks at the Giro, despite a few stomach infections. He must be one of the favourites to pull off a win soon, or he must be short odds on pulling off the win soon. A couple of podiums. Yeah, three podiums.
Three, I think, yeah.
He's getting close. You mentioned the rumblings in Team Sky. Did you see what's going on with British Cycling and Team Sky?
I did, yeah. Bit of a break up in their base. They're based in the Velodrome, aren't they?
Yeah, Manchester.
The old Velodrome popping up again.
Fucking Velodrome. You can't get away from them. Yeah. They're there. Put him at the badminton team. Fuck's sake. The old Ross and Rachel split.
Gone. They shouldn't be there. Like, it'd be a very smart move for British Cycling to part ways with Team Sky. I'm just putting that out there.
So, board members of British Cycling are understood to have pushed for a discernible split between the two organisations, which have shared a base and personnel since Team Sky were founded in 2010. They believe it would be a significant move in the battle to restore British Cycling's reputation, with an announcement expected next week. The closeness of the two has been a great source of consternation over the past 14 months, as each lurched into one damaging episode after another. They've both been at it. Like, British Cycling have had their controversies with Shane Sutton, and abusing the...
Archibald. Is it Archibald?
Was that the girl's name, yeah?
Yeah.
It was, sexist remarks and stuff, so he resigned over that. But Sky...
Pendleton was caught up in it as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, I think Pendleton wrote something in her autobiography about it.
Yeah.
But then Sky have obviously had their share of controversy with the Jiffy bags, and so you wouldn't know who the worst offender is there. Sky's whole problem was when they went out at the very start and set out to be the first team to win the Tour clean with a British rider inside 4 years, because it just attracted extra media attention around their practices, and then they hoard a load of dope and doctors, and hasn't been good. I don't think they're doing that, but other teams aren't doing. But
seeing before you get to tech news there, you're after skipping something, you're after missing.
Sure, I'm not even near tech news.
Hold on a minute, that has to come back anyway, because I've seen you missed a part.
No, I haven't missed a part. What part did I miss?
The racing this weekend comes under domestic news, isn't it?
Oh, that is coming under domestic news, yeah. Let me finish on British Cycling. So, Sky are, they're Splitskies with them. It's British Cycling's request to go Splitskies, but to be honest, they probably both benefit from that.
Definitely.
I don't know where Sky are going to base themselves now. The Velodrome seemed an obvious place to base themselves, but there was a bit of an unholy crossover going on there with, like, you know, his Wiggins, he's riding for Sky, but he's based at the track and he's doing track events. It was all a bit weird.
Yeah.
Domestic news. What's on this weekend?
So we've got the Brian McNamara. You told me it was a National League. I wasn't
fastest race in the country. Chill.
The oldest joke in the fucking world as well. So Dara Feely won last year. Just mentioned Dara.
Gave him the show out already.
Richardson and Morton, UCD, were second and third. That was a super win by him last year. He really stepped it up last year. That's when he started stepping up on it.
Yeah, he was getting good all last year, really. He wasn't bad now on stage three. Ross Meehan brought the line of dust on him, but he was alright.
He'd fucking hand your arse to you on the plate now.
Nah, he wouldn't. He's a good lad. He knows where he came from. He gave me such a hoop, and actually last year in Shore Valley, last edge, I got clear with him and Martin, that Torrance Field he was pulling. I fucking was saying, Jesus, he's riding up drags about 700 watts. I was like, fuck that, I'm sitting on.
Do that to you. Paddy Flanagan's on this weekend.
Oh yeah, you know, Castle's all win.
Castle's all win.
Castle's all stomping ground.
Yeah, you rolled me if you remember.
You didn't take much rolling back in those days. You were easily whipped.
He's all again.
It was only me and Castle.
It wasn't. You'd had the whole bunch paid off. And people that are watching this will know this. If you remember the pattern, what year was that?
You're clutching straws here. That was 2011.
I know. They'll all love Castle.
You've gone full circle, actually. You were writing for Planet X then.
I wasn't.
You were. You were writing in Planet X Black Kit.
Oh, it was before. No. The year I. No, I was writing for the French team that year. The year I done well.
You didn't race it in the French kit?
I did.
Ooh.
Red French kit.
Don't think so.
110%.
That was the year you won Leinster's. Shaw was second.
No.
Wasn't that year?
No. I rode it that year too. But it was different.
Hmm.
French team.
But yeah. That would be in 2010.
He's always conspired against me. So he said, yes, the whole bunch paid off chasing me down.
Chasing you down. So you couldn't even attack. You were as weak as water. Were you second there?
Yeah.
Your best ever result. We got a good coach's corner.
Hold on, you just skipped the Paddy Flanagan. Owen O'Connell won it from Killarney.
Oh, it's a crit now this year, isn't it?
It's only one day.
It used to be 2 day with a TT.
It was a great race it was. So it's only down, I don't know what the story is there. It's down to 1 day. Legend that is Paddy Flanagan as well. Good bit of history there.
I remember that race got held up that year because you were late going to the fucking race. Tell them why you were late.
Ah, fucking best story ever. Great story. It's on the way to the race. I think I've told this one before. I was on the way to the race, realised 3/4 of the way over that I just got a weird feeling I've forgotten something and the shoes popped into my head. I remember leaving them out to dry with the paper in them on the sink. It's like, fuck it, I forgot my shoes. Pulled in the side of the road. It's like, do you remember seeing my shoes? He got out of the car and I knew I'd forgotten the shoes. He said, no, they're not there. And just like out of temper, I just kind of hit the windscreen kind of hard, but it was obviously too hard. The fucking whole windscreen shattered my dad's car. My dad takes a good bit of pride in his car as well, so instantly I was looking for an escape route. You know the size of my outlet as well. I was looking for an escape route out of the car. We were sitting on the side of the motorway. He got back into the car and completely lost it. I was like, what the fuck? So anyway, I was sitting there. I was like, what are we going to do? We're going to have to go back home. The outlet, get out of the car, slammed the door, just went walking up the motorway. Left us there in the car. So my mum got the car up around the roundabout, drove home with me, got the shoes, came back across. My dad's still walking down the motorway somewhere in Kildare. Rang Richie, who you were taking the piss out of a few weeks ago.
Knowledgeable man.
Richard Malone. Rang Richie, and Richie stalled a race, pinned me numbers on in the car right before the start, and jumped out, and away I went. Remember looking, mum went to pick my dad up, brought him back to the circuit, and I remember every time I went around by him on the course, I could see his scorpy head looking at me, so I knew that I had to get a result, and I didn't. I didn't get a result.
No, you didn't. You missed the break.
I missed the fucking break, yeah.
Yeah.
I was shitting myself. I just didn't want to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got away with it, though.
And that's on this weekend, or that's it?
The prize winning from that money from that weekend paid for a new windscreen in the car, though.
I didn't. That's fuck.
Did you? Yeah. £200.
Did you get £200? We probably made a bit more, but we had to pay off half the bunch, so we ended up losing a bit of money.
There you go. Owen O'Connell won it last year. Mick Fitzgerald second. And your teammate, Matt. Matteo Sagala was third.
He didn't even know Matteo was still racing this time last year.
There you go.
Matteo says it's crit season now, so he could be there. No, he's not. He's going to Tuam, actually.
Is he?
Yeah. Classic leg.
Righty.
Coach's corner.
What's the crack there?
Boom. Got a good coach's corner for you today. You'll enjoy this one.
Will I?
Yep. You will be riding the bike for 10 hours on Sunday.
As far as I know,
Wicklow 200 is on this Sunday, and myself and himself will be taking part. Ronan won the Grand Fondo in Northern Ireland last week. You said you're going to win the Wicklow 200.
No, hold on a minute, right? I'm not wearing a skin suit and I'm not using race wheels, and I'm going out there.
You did say to me just before we went on air, I might try and get a lend of race wheels.
Did not.
You fucking did. I might get a lend of Squeaks race wheels.
I never said it.
He's verified it.
Evan's just verified, haven't you said?
It's because he looks like Jackie Healy, right?
He does, actually. I came through his town there yesterday, the day before. I was away for the weekend. Evan's. He's wearing that hat.
Mm, he's a good man, right? So are you going race wheels?
Am I? Fuck no. I'm going to be content driven.
The Ross was content driven for you. You weren't online your WhatsApp for 3 days.
I know, yeah. Completely bollocks. I had my excuses there, but none on Sunday.
I was Snapchatting flat out to the Ross. Fucking good Snapchat. You're just not smart enough to figure out how to download Snapchat, so you don't know what's going on. The screens don't make sense. You don't scroll the wrong way. So we've got bad news for you again here. Bad news number one, are we cycling now?
no other lift, too.
We're going to cycle out. So we have to be in, it starts in all Bray right. at 7 a.m.
I'll solve it all. Is it raining on Sunday?
I don't know. But you'll be going regardless.
Right?
You will. You fucking, you got your entry.
My house is forward from here as well. That means I have to ride here first as well.
So ride here. And then.
Ride to Bray.
Ride to Bray, an hour right. and a half. Ride the 200k and then ride an hour and a half home. That's a fucking roadman's day. That's 11 hours. That's 11 hours without stopping. Oh, you're going to have to bring a portable charger from a yarm. It won't even last that long.
Fuck it. Sure, look, it'll be grand.
So we're rolling out of Emmett's GAA Club at 7 a.m. We're heading to Enniskerry, the old Long Hill, Roundwood, Lara, Wicklow Gap, Hollywood, Bolton Glass, Sleeve Man's a tough climb. You know that one?
Yep.
Sleeve Man's rough. Sleeve Man, Drumgoff, Glenmalure, Rathdrum. Jesus, there's a lot of climbing here. Ballinaclash, Ashford, Newcastle, Greystones, short climb up Wingates, Enniskerry, and then on to the finish back at Bray Emirates. Emmett's. Bray Emirates. Not good.
Shook. Under us with no training in the ground.
You might be grand, or you might end up in hospital. Did you say you need a new saddle for your bike?
Yeah, saddle is causing awful issues.
Have you been on the bike since the Ross?
Yeah. Civvies.
We cycled in. The reason the show was late, we had a meeting in the city, and we were riding. Were we 500 metres from the gaff? Were we 500 metres from the gaff?
No.
And I said we should ditch the bikes and get a taxi. No, it looks like it's clearing up ahead.
Roadmen don't get taxis.
How wet were we?
Soaked.
I had to buy a pair of Adidas 3-stripe tracksuit bottoms for €7 in a vintage shop when we got there before the meet.
Yeah, you sat there with like casual top on and an Adidas 3-stripe on the bottom.
Yeah, the jumper on Adidas 3-stripe.
What did you say? It was an intermission outfit, wasn't it?
Yeah, nothing says Scobie like tracksuit bottoms and a woolly jumper. If I had Evan's calf, no one would have went near me.
No.
I could have done what I wanted. You wouldn't have to pay for anything.
You're riding home, it looked like you stole your bike.
Yeah, it did, I'll give you that. So Wicklow 200, let's give people some tips. This is the coaching section.
Yes, Wicklow 200. Your bike, if it's not sorted already, make sure you give it into a mechanic. Get a mechanic to give it the once over. Today or tomorrow, for sure. Today, it has to be today or tomorrow, yeah. Fucking hell, it's Friday already.
Yeah. Thursday.
Yeah.
Food on the day, don't depend on the food stops, because I know there's going to be, I don't know how many food stops, there's going to be a bunch of them. There probably is food there. Could be massive queues. You need to bring some food with you.
You do need to bring some with you, but that's like, they're not going to avoid the food stops, really.
I'd say stop once.
No, absolutely not.
Once for the 100, twice for the 200. The queues can be mental. Like, you have one sportif. I done the Great Dublin Bike Ride last year. If it's raining, and we're at the Great Dublin Bike Ride, it was a lovely day last year.
I know a lad that's doing the Wicklow 200 that drinks 25 pints a week. There's no way that he's stopping twice in 200.
Well, Grant, but he'll be queuing all day. Like,
he'll fucking happily queue all day.
Yeah, but you won't get home. Like, it'll be dark.
He doesn't care.
Grant, you get a bang of a car coming in the fucking N11.
There's no way someone that...
For anyone that's organised, you need to bring food, because you don't want to be planning to stop you doing things. The queues at the Great Dublin Bike Ride, they're 15-20 minutes in the lashings of rain, if it's raining at the weekend, which it looks like it's going to based on this week. So you don't want to be waiting around for your jam sandwiches. Bring food, have two bottle cases on.
I'm going out there to enjoy myself.
Water. Bring a raincoat.
Definitely.
Arm warmers, leg warmers, because the temperature's going to change dramatically from 7 a.m. to 12 p.m. and then it's going to start dipping again later in the day. So
yeah, so there's no harm in starting with like at least a set of knee warmers, arm warmers on, even if the weather, it does look good. You can always stop after 50-60k and take that stuff off on the side of the road.
Like, you can't put on clothes that you don't have, like, so bring more than you need.
Definitely.
Electrolytes, if it's warm. It has been pretty warm even though it's pissing rain, so more than water in the bottles, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. L0 tabs.
The normal stuff. Don't do anything new on race day. Don't get it on race day, event day. Don't be wearing new shorts if you're going to wear them.
Well, that's the other thing as well there. If you're not going to use all the stops, if you're not going to eat real food, don't go and buy a heap of gels or power bars and stuff that you haven't used this, like, you haven't used before. Don't go jamming your jersey full of that kind of processed crap. Like, if you're not used to eating that stuff and you don't want to use the stops either, bring normal food. Bring sandwiches. Bring like stuff that's covered in jam, peanut butter, bananas in your back pocket. You don't need to use that kind of stuff if you haven't used it before.
Bring your packed lunch.
Yeah.
You bring a packed lunch?
I definitely am.
Your missus making a few?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's queer. Right, ask A1. Any other Wicklow 200 tips or wisdoms before we Move on.
Start easy.
I'd say like a TT one. Go to the below. Start hard. Pick it up in the middle and finish flat out. No, the climbs. You need to gotta pace them.
You need to pace the climbs, yeah. 100%.
It's actually, this is not so relevant for us because we're quite evenly matched. You need to pick who you ride it with, because if you're riding it with somebody who's that 10% stronger than you, it's going to be a rough day on the climbs for you.
Not only a rough day on the climbs, if you are eking out over that edge too much early on in that ride, the last couple of hours of that could be horrendous. If you fuel correctly, there's no reason, like if you're a bit nervous before 200k, if you've never done it before, there's like, if you've ridden 150k or if you've spent 6 hours on the bike before, like, you will get through it. You just need to get your fueling right. Like, you know,
decent lads are going to average 25k an hour on that terrain, which is 8 hours ride time.
Yeah, it's a solid day. It's all about fueling. Most people.
So that's 8 hours ride time. We have 3 hours on top of that commuting time. So we have 11 hours with no stops.
The other thing as well, I coached a guy last year and I actually called over to him before, the night before. He was eating way too much food the night before and the morning of. Completely blocked up. You need to eat a lot of stuff on the bike, but obviously you will carb up the night before and you'll eat a decent breakfast the morning of, but don't go absolutely nuts to the stage where you're completely bloated as shit.
Like, I went to Il Forneo and got that large pizza the night before the Ross.
Yeah,
I was blocked till the Wednesday.
Yeah, you would be. That thing's massive.
I didn't realise how big it was in New York.
Ah, it's for three people.
It is. It's, and then it's a pride thing. You couldn't not finish.
No.
Like, you're that lad who doesn't finish your pizza, and then all of a sudden you're the lad who wants to get the last square, like, wrapped up for takeaway and have it for lunch tomorrow. You don't want to be that lad.
No.
So I just ate, sacrificed the first 2 days at a Ross. I'll be blocked for them, and then I'll clear up and get that pizza. Like a road man. Right, Bugger, we're going to wrap it up with Ask A1. So, Bugle, you were one of the worst crit riders in the history of the UK crit scene. So this question is for you. Do you have any crit... I don't know why you're asking Bugle this question. Do you have any crit tips for safety?
Hold on a minute. I was a decent crit rider.
Okay, well then answer this.
Better crit results than you.
Any crit tips for safety?
Hold on a minute. Where are you? Give me your kind of crit palmaris.
No, actually, I probably have a better, more crit results than you. I had a good few crit results in the States.
Ah, would you stop?
Full season on a crit team.
Fucking crit team. Don't start in the States now. Don't get me into a
conversation. Towards the Italia twice, fifth. Broke, nearly died the next day in a crit in Detroit. It's a bad get down. I nearly won a crit. I remember putting out a tweet.
Did you
ride
crit champs?
Pigs. No, I've never ridden crit champs.
Maybe not.
No, never ridden. Castle was fifth once, I think. Oh, was Castle fourth? You were third once, were you?
Third, fourth.
That was Stephen Roach Grand Prix.
Yeah. Yeah. I was only a sprog then, in fairness, with South Dublin at that stage. Yeah. That was before.
The crit champs are always on a weird place, Mullingar or something. It's hard to get there. The criterium tips for safety.
Criterium tips for safety.
Yeah, don't do them.
Don't do them.
There's no such thing as a safe crit.
There is no. They're not.
Oh! I'm riding a crit next week.
Where?
On a tandem.
Ah, you're definitely gonna meet yourself.
But it's not. It's
with Peter.
Yeah. It's not a tandem crit.
I'm his coach, I'm going to tell him. No,
it's not a tandem crit. It's an able-bodied crit. But the tandem's allowed in it.
How does that work?
I'm going to light lads up.
No, you won't. No, you won't. There's no acceleration out of a corner out of a tandem.
Yeah, I know, yeah. That's the problem.
You're going to get holes.
You need to be wheel one into the corners. But on the fucking straightaways.
They want to be very long straights to get that thing up to speed.
If you get it up to speed, lads
will... you have to slow back down.
Lads will die. No, he said most of the corners, three of the four corners, he said you can carry nearly all your speed through.
Oh, really?
Oh, I could lap the field.
You definitely won't. You definitely won't. You'll be sore for a week after that. There's that much core strength involved.
Do you have any criterium tips for safety? Tire pressure is one of the big ones. Well, I remember going out to the States and I was going out riding 120, 130 PSI. Even when it was dry or wet, I'd be still on that 110 to 130 PSI. The crit lads are riding 50 to 65 PSI. Makes a massive difference getting through the corners.
More traction.
Position. Crits are all about position.
Everything. The first row of the crit, that's it. If you're not at the front in the first couple of laps, the energy, even if you stay in the race, the energy you've expended at that stage, you're completely goosed.
NCC crits were that hard that if you didn't get in the front 15 after two laps, you may as well pull out.
The first one that I started in the UK, I started last, right at the back, on the back row. And before I got through the last bend on the first lap, the first person was nearly lapping.
Yeah. No, it's a full line out. That elasticated effect happens all the way back. So if you're, you know, the lad's through the corner, he's done his braking, he's through the corner, he's accelerating. He's doing 60k an hour out the far side of the corner. So now you need to come through the corner at fucking 65k an hour to hold his wheel. It's not possible.
Yeah.
So position. Get there early. Start right at the front.
Another tip for the corner and a crit as well. Like a lot of lads do, you know, braking going into the corner, aiming for the apex, all that kind of stuff is, I don't know if you do this, but if you are, say, five back, you're in a line, I always accelerate before a corner. You know, instead of people braking, I actually accelerate into the corner and then try and carry that speed out the far side.
Yeah, and if you are really stuck, you'll get away with the chop a couple of times, coming right in the inside. The lads are coming out on the left to take the right.
They're a real chopper.
You got to come in the right-hand side and just chop them out of it.
You love the chop.
You'll only get away with that a couple of times before that's bounced.
You get a name like you.
Yeah.
Chop. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, you need to
that's
do the chop.
Solid voice.
The chop.
Chop them.
Yeah. The chop's the only way to get a bit of position. You need to fight for fucking dear life to hold your position because it's everything. Last question, Bugger, before the wrap up. Should an under 16 cyclist get a power meter? And the second part of that question is, what's the most important part of training to focus on for under 16 racing? So should an under 16 cyclist get a power meter?
No.
Learn to ride your bike. Power is only one.
Once it gets to that age, though, it depends on the level and the level of maturity that rider's at. But an under 16 rider, no, it shouldn't. I got a power meter very, very young. So, like, was it a mistake to get it? Not necessarily, but I couldn't use it correctly. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I learned how to use power arguably very young, but I think it takes away from the stuff that you should be learning at that age.
What's the most important part of training to focus on as a number 16 rider?
Craft.
Skills.
Yeah, 100%.
Skills. The training and strength will come as you grow up. Skills. Get out in the park, practice fucking wheelies, bunny hop, bumping off friends. All the stuff Evan can't do. All the reasons why Evan
keeps milling himself.
Keeps crashing every week. Learn how to, you know, control your bike. Ride through fucking traffic. Ride through traffic. Bit dangerous, but ride through traffic. That's my recommendation. And run with scissors. That's another one. Any other ones?
Not really.
Just messing about on the bike generally.
It, like, again, like what's it, like from a training perspective, like it needs to be, I said it actually in the vlog that's fucking out of sync, is that it should be fun. There still should be a lot of decent sessions built into the program, but the overall factor still at that age, under 16, people might be saying, oh, you know, it's getting to that age. It still should be really
all the way up. It should be fun.
It should be, yeah, exactly.
Like that's why lads
like say your job for, like that's why the Mullingar Lakeside Wheelers are doing a great job. Like the platform that they have for bringing under age riders through to the senior ranks, I haven't seen somewhere that's as good as that. But that's your job. You know, you should be trying to get them through to the senior ranks.
Bugle, that's a wrap. If you make it back from the Wicklow 200 on Sunday, we'll do another show on Monday. If not, rest in peace.
Nice.
Thanks for watching, lads.